Katie Podcast, episode 804. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I mean, Sarah left me high and dry.
I know. Listen, I didn't want to.
So rude.
I didn't want to.
We wanted to stay forever. While you were here, which is funny to me.
I know. I was like, how did we? That's right. We didn't.
Right. You were here. You're gone. Now we're recording again. Okay.
Okay.
We're back in the saddle. How are you feeling? Are you in withdrawals at all? I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was getting used to that.
It's so easy when we hang out, you know? It's like, you have those people that the best kind of friends and the best kind of people I think in our lives are the people that we can do nothing with, where you can just like be in the same room and like it just feels good to just do nothing with them.
Yeah. And I mean, I love to that. Be fair, we did a lot though.
Right.
Like,
right.
And also nothing.
Right. Right. We did so much. I did more in that weekend than I think I've done in the last 6 months.
Yeah. We drove to Philly. So we were here for a few days in Pittsburgh. Then we drove to Philly for Challenge Mania, which was maniacal. Also, it lived up to its name. And then drove back and then off you went.
Yeah.
It was just this whirlwind.
Whirlwind.
But we enjoyed having you. We had some nice, yummy food.
Yeah.
Lots of laughs.
Delicious meals for me.
We observed a celestial event.
Oh my gosh.
Along with the rest of the world.
That was so special.
That was special.
We observed the eclipse. I thought, like, I was like, okay, like an eclipse, like what's the big deal? I didn't know that it was going to be as awe-inspiring as it was. You know, it really lives up to your year of wonder.
Yeah, it did. It really did. I wouldn't go so far, like I didn't think it was transcendent, but I did feel wonder and just, yeah. My favorite part actually, besides the funny parts that we experienced, was that knowing that this was a collective, like monocultural event that everyone in the area, the US or these, you know, most of the US was doing it, and that it was important to a lot of people and it wasn't on TV and it was just like going out like goons. And staring at the sky.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool to all do something together and all be a part of it. And it feels like, I feel like I watch these like archival footage of like the 70s or things that happened. And you're like, you see these moments, like almost like Hands Across America or something like that, where like everybody
like
gets
man
together.
On the moon or.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Something like that, where you see the footage of it and you're like, wow, everybody like doing, it didn't matter who you were, all coming out to do this thing together. And it kind of felt like we were taking part of something that I especially felt excited for the kids, like your son Lincoln, who gets to be a part of this, because it's going to be so many years before there's an opportunity for, you know, in the same area again. And well, now it's like, forget 300 years. That's not happening. But, you know, in the United States, it'll be a while until he's like an adult, and to be able to, maybe he'll have kids at that point and be able to say, I remember when I was a kid and went and saw this.
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to get rid of the glasses because I like to declutter always.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get rid of those. And so I was like, okay, I'll put them in your journal. Cause you know, how I like write a journal about him.
So
and
cute.
So I'm going to glue those paper ones in there. And he will remember it forever. Can I just set the stage, though, for our listeners? Because here's what led up to this. We were in Philadelphia for the event on Sunday the 7th, is I guess what it was. And then in order to get back to Pittsburgh in time for this eclipse, we had to leave at like 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning or something. And so we had gone through the Challenge Mania event. We were exhausted. Because it's really draining. It's like 4 hours of like, you know, glad handing and, you know, like trying to be performing really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like 10 o'clock. We're back. We're going to get to bed like sensible adults. And I take medicine for my Raynaud's, the blood thing. And I accidentally took from my pill box my husband's Adderall.
Oh my God.
After that whole day. And I didn't know.
At 10
and I'm just
PM.
Laying there. My heart is racing. And I'm like, boy, that challenge media rant really got me jazzed. I am just buzzing over here. I really need to just call. I was doing all these breathing exercises and I said, this is strange. Like usually you can get in control of your body if it is just sort of adrenaline or something.
Oh my God.
And then it hit me what had happened. And I thought, boy, oh boy, this is going to be a long night. And then we woke up and drove to Pittsburgh. And then you and I were like, really hoping that it was going to be overcast so that we would not have to drive to the path of totality.
Right. Because it's like a 6-hour drive we drove home. And then you get back up and then it's another 2-hour drive.
We
got
to go to the path of totality.
And I'm like,
but we were glad we did. And tell them what happened at the tool booth because that was my favorite part. Okay.
So we were thinking, oh my God, there's going to be so much traffic. We're like, you know, trying to find a spot right off the turnpike where we can easily turn around and like get right back on the road to like beat a bunch of traffic there. So we find a place to exit and there.
We were cutting it close.
We were.
It was
we were
10 minutes
until. 10 minutes.
Yes.
And as we're like 10 minutes away from this like once in a lifetime event that you can't like press rewind.
Everyone is feeling the pressure.
Everyone is feeling, thank you. Yes. Everyone is feeling the pressure. This turnpike toll exit has two lanes, a fast pass, like easy pass lane, and then a pay with cash lane. And we're like getting down the nitty gritty and we're like, looking, the lines are long. People are honking. It's taken a while. We're like, man, should we just go in the easy pass lane?
We thought about it.
Uh-huh. Well, we were not the only people who had that idea because there was somebody in front of the line who did not have an easy pass and tried to get through there. Then they held the line up and people behind were getting furious and were honking. Somebody even switched into the other line and then they got screwed over because this line started taking long and then the easy pass started like going. Then a guy gets caught up at the easy pass line with no easy pass and he's like, fuck this. Rams through the barrier. Took it out. All of a sudden we hear this like arm of the toll booth. He just rammed right through
it and kept on going. This guy,
I assume there's
loves
a fine
eclipses.
For that. Loves. He's like, nobody's getting in my way.
Yeah, because it was like a pickup truck. It was like it was definitely a dude doing this.
Oh, 100%.
And he just cannot wait to see that freaking eclipse.
And then we were in line and it's like $2.50 for the toll. And we're paying with like $1 at a time. And it's like, go, go. And it's doing that thing where you try to put the money into the machine and it spits it back out because you have like one wrinkle in it. And you could just hear the anxiety of the drivers behind us. Yes. Like, oh God, you better run the turnstile too. Like it was nuts. But we made it, pulled over, got the spot. And like a child, I instinctively kept looking at it with my eye. I had my glasses
four
on.
Times.
I know. And it would be for like 1 second. I've done some research since. And although it is more intense, like there is like, you don't want to look into it. It's just like
they
the sun on a regular day.
It.
They do. It's like regular day. Like just don't look into the sun ever.
Right. They make it seem like it's literally burning a hole into your eyeball.
Right. And I was fine.
You know, like. Cool your jets, scientists.
Yeah.
We
and
are
then
on
I
to
heard
you.
That once the if you're in the path of totality, you can look at it if it's full. I know. I'm regretting that because like, people did. And we were like,
sneak
no, don't.
Peek.
Susie was like, just sneak a peek.
Just do it
like,
real
just
quick.
Look. Just real quick.
Because it is so much prettier without those dumb glasses.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Don't
if
tell
you're
anybody.
In the path of totality, I know.
Don't tell my optometrist.
That's very funny. But it was a hoot. It was so fun.
Yeah, we had a great time, and I always have a great time also going through my Rocket Money account because I'm saving money left and right with that darn thing. They
left
are currently
right.
negotiating my cable bill, and I'm psyched about it because I know that they are going to get me a deal. Every time they've ever negotiated anything, I've saved big, And it sounds made up, but this is real. They call and do it all for you and then just say, hey, guess what? We saved you $200 or whatever it is. It's awesome. Tracks your spending, cancels unwanted subscriptions, which are a plenty. Yeah. I can't believe how many subscriptions there are.
One.
Yeah, for one, the same account.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two different emails. I had signed up for, I don't know, either way, they let me know and I canceled that. Save myself hundreds of dollars a year.
And we get messages from Brainiacs being like, I thought you were just, you know, making stuff up, but it worked and it's amazing. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Has over 5 million users, saved 500 million in canceled subscriptions. I mean, it's awesome. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. That's rocketmoney.com/braincandy, rocketmoney.com/braincandy. Just download that baby for free and you will save a bundle.
Yeah.
All right. I miss you.
Aww.
And I hope you come back soon.
Yeah.
I'm just planting that seed. Or maybe like we could go on a little somewhere.
Road trip. But no taking Adderall before. Unless it's me and I need it.
Yes. Okay. First up on my agenda today is, you may have heard this in the news. I read about it recently in the LA Times. And I just wanted to talk about it and like get your feelings. There was, you know, the 4-H club with it.
I sure do.
Yeah. If you're not familiar, it's like a club in schools where kids can learn about rearing livestock and like farm animals and learning about the process of like raising these animals and then sending them off to be, you know, become food. And it's just like an agricultural educational club.
Yeah.
Well, this little 9-year-old girl was in the 4-H club in California, and she was assigned this goat to be her animal to rear and then send off to doom. And, well, she got attached.
Yeah, I had imagined so.
Yeah, and it became like a pet for her, which I'm sure happens sometimes, where if you have a certain type of kid who really, you know, connects with animals, then that's going to be a really hard process to do. So she did not want that goat going to the old slaughterhouse. And so she begged and pleaded, hey, save my goat, whose name was, let me look, I forget, it starts with a C. Cedar.
Cute.
She begged and pleaded, save Cedar. I mean, first mistake was naming it, probably, but
goat number 4 would have been like,
right. There was another goat in this
that you could name
club and its name was Loin. So at least like it acknowledged the fate,
what it was going to be.
Yeah. So anyway, the 4-H club was like, too bad. So sad. I mean, we already have like a bidder or a buyer, like this guy's a goner. I'm so sorry. And the mom was like, well, I'll pay for whatever the other person had bid on it, and I'll cover the cost. I'll take Cedar and head on my merry way. And so they said no. And so she called the police and she said, hey,
I'd like to report a crime.
Yeah. Because like it's a question of property. Is it the girls?
Oh,
or is it the 4-H clubs? Okay. And so the police got involved and it was considered a property dispute. And this was real. And they had to do an investigation and figure out who was the true owner of this GD goat. Well, in the meantime, during the investigation, the 4-H club, the goat is dead. And nobody knows who killed. Well, 3 people know, but they're not saying who killed the darn thing.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah. Cedar is RIP.
Oh, no, poor little girl.
Yes. So now she's 11. This is 2 years ago. This is still going on.
You're
going
to say now she's a vegetarian.
I bet you she is.
I bet so,
for
too.
For sure. If she
this
wasn't,
is her
I
vegan
would probably
origin story.
Right. I don't blame her.
Yeah,
I mean, frankly, 100%. If we had more familiarity with the food process, I bet a lot more people would be. But Okay, so I say this whole backstory to ask you the question. What do you think should have happened had Cedar not been murdered during the custody battle?
I mean, technically, I'd say it's still property of the 4-H Club.
Okay. You say, too bad. You signed up, because you made a commitment.
That's like if I get one of those little eggs that I got to take care of, you know, like they do.
Yeah.
That simulate egg is not mine. Having a baby. Yeah, it's like they're just giving you that to, in the process. Right?
Oh. Well, I'm not sure about like the logistics. I don't know if like how it all works legally.
Listen,
speaking.
I don't want Cedar to die. I want the mom.
Sounds like you do.
No. I'm going like, what does the law say? But I think if the opportunity, fucking A, if somebody already bid on it and it was already purchased and it's, I mean, this is just like a rescue.
Wow, if she's you're literally the law like, over there.
If she's bringing the money and saying, like, can I, that person who bought the goat, they could be happy with another goat. They're not like, yeah. I want Cedar.
They don't care about specifically Cedar.
Right. So just give that person another goat.
Yeah.
And let the lady swap. Keep her goat.
Okay. Well, you've flip-flopped. You've changed your mind. You've talked yourself out of your opinion.
Well, yeah. Because I'm just like making sure that everybody's getting their what they need, getting their needs met, mm-hmm. you know? And as long as like I want to say, what is the guy who bought the goat, what would he say? He'd probably be like, well, what the heck, I signed a contract with you to have a goat, so like let's give him a goat. It might be a little more work for the people at the 4-H club, but what the fuck else are you doing?
Yeah,
in California, 4-H club, for goodness sakes.
This whole drama actually inspired
I know there's a big agricultural scene in California. I'm not an idiot, I'm just saying this is anyways.
Yeah,
inspired legislation.
Yeah, it sparked a California bill that would allow kids to enter animals in the county fairs without the risk of the animals being butchered. So they've changed it since then to be like,
okay, good.
Yeah, of course. Lighten up, you weirdos. Let the girl have her GD goat.
Yeah.
She's crying about it.
Come on. Let her have her
good
goat.
Grief.
Like, what's the harm, really? It's a goat. And honestly, how expensive could a goat be?
Yeah, I would love to know that.
That's like, what I thought you were going to tell me that the price of the goat was like
how much?
Through the roof or something. I don't know. I thought you were going to tell me like prices. It was like $6,000 for this goat or something. Or like, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Like, yeah, I feel like this is like we could get give her another goat.
During the whole investigation, they uncovered these texts between the 4-H club like board or whoever these idiots are, and they were so mean about it and laughing about it in the text.
No, okay, being now like, I hate him even more.
Yeah, like I can't wait till that goat's dead and stuff.
No.
Yeah, like
no!
Not nice. It's not as if they were just like business you know, doing things by the book.
I hate
they
them.
Were just sort of like, this girl's an idiot, you know. I hate them too.
And I love Cedar, and I love a little girl for wanting to protect
What a
Cedar.
Sweetheart, right? She's going to end up being like Temple Grandin or whatever that lady's
yeah,
name
is. Yeah, she's going to be like an animal advocate. It's going to be great.
It is. She learned a lot in 4-H Club, but just not what she was supposed to learn.
Right. Not what she came there for, but
she learned about the cruelty of life on this earth.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a very sad outcome.
Sure is. What the fuck?
R.I.P.
Yeah, I mean, now that she's probably not eating meat,
just like,
she might.
He's dead.
She might be in the market for AG1 because she will probably want to make sure that she is getting all her vitamins and taking care of her health.
Yep.
And AG1 is the ticket. You should have seen, I took a picture when we were going on our road trip to Philly of like all of the things that we packed for the road trip. And because they're all our partners, because we actually love and use them.
Yes.
And among them, of course, was AG1. We do this ritual every morning where you pour that AG1 into your water, drink it up, and you start your day off right. And it keeps it simple too, because sometimes people get overwhelmed with like, should I take this? Should I take that? They do all the work for
you. This is just a really great way to get you all of those good nutrients for a solid foundation to build a healthy life on top of. I love it.
AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that they have prebiotics, probiotics, and the digestive enzymes, because Lord knows Suze goes through a lot of trouble down there.
Yeah.
So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/braincandy. That's drinkag1.com/braincandy. Check it out. All right, moving on from that drama. Next up on my agenda. Oh my gosh, this was cracking me up. New York Times did a story about a trend that has come out that I had not been aware of, where people are just losing their minds over sticks. They are
sticks like things on the ground.
Yeah. They are stick enthusiasts.
You want to hear one of my favorite jokes?
Yeah. But I love I've this
kind
one.
Of already. What's brown and sticky? A stick.
They would love that. That would kill in Stick Nation.
I did see a picture of it was a picture from the turnstile, like the luggage carousel at the airport, that was one stick with a baggage tag on it. And the picture said, I know that there's a backstory here, which is some little 4-year-old who brought a stick to the airport was like, I have to have this. And they said, you can't come on the plane with that. So then some parent had to pay the $25 fee to check that. And then that parent was, that kid was asking every hour on the hour through the whole plane ride, is my stick okay? And
it was probably that goat girl.
Yeah. Somebody
like that.
She gets real
attached to things. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, it could have been an adult, because these people are adults and
wait, this is an adult thing?
Yes, Sarah.
Oh no, I thought this was like a silly band, like this is children. This is grown people.
That would be great.
No. We listen. I am all you always say, like you kink shame and I don't, and I'm like so understanding of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have much today. I don't know why. But
this is where you draw the line.
You are a grown and I'm saying this as a grown up with a large toy collection who
and
has
you
like
love hugging trees too.
I love hugging trees, but what are we doing here? What's happening?
I felt the same way as you might imagine. But
well, this is my stick. This is like a pet rock. This is like the new pet rock trend. We're trying to make this happen. What's
You're
happening?
Gonna love this story. It oh, gets God. Better and better. Okay, so they are in a group called Stick Nation, and it's on Sarah's face.
What else did they be called?
She has had it.
I don't know why I'm so upset by stick people.
Okay, well maybe I'll turn you around. Maybe you'll be like, you know what? They are nice. It's on Instagram. You can follow it, Stick Nation. And they have a Stick of the Month club, contest, where they like pick a stick that's the best one from that month. And they have all
Watch,
these
here I am poo-pooing this, and next month I'm going to be entering for, like, now submitting. I'm like, oh, shit, Stick of the Month? Well, I could find a cool stick. Have they seen the sticks around here? I see what we're doing here. Oh, God. This has ADHD hyperfixation written all over it.
The account bills itself as the internet's go-to for stick reviews. Mm-hmm. And
I would imagine the competition is right. Not too stiff.
They have a monopoly, and they offer commentary. And so, like, there's a lot of discussion amongst the members about what's a good stick and what's
okay. What do they look for? What?
Well, they submit photos or videos of the specimens, and then they have like criteria. So one of them is called, they've named it the McMurray Bend. So like it's put on this scale of curvature.
Okay,
if it has like a, cool a good curve. Bend. If it has like a simulated trigger, they love that. I think.
Okay. Oh my God, I have a perfect stick. I like in my mind, I'm like, I know I got a great stick they would love. Oh
I'm
my
sure
God.
They they do it based, they talk about how it feels in their hand if they okay. are the one holding it. Okay. Probably color, maybe thickness.
Yeah. This okay. could all be descriptions of penises too. That's
it's true. Good. Yeah. They also award extra points to sticks that easily lend themselves to being, I am not joking, spun like propellers.
What?
I don't even know what that means. Extra points, though. Bonus if it can spin like a propeller.
Where? Uh-oh. How are you holding it?
I think she's
it?
Turned how, against the baguette.
How does a stick? How do you do that?
I think
like,
maybe
do you just hold it and like spin it and then just let go. Like oh okay.
I don't know, oh, Sarah.
Okay.
Huh. Okay, so I was feeling the same way as you. I was just like, this is a cry for
mixed
help.
Feelings.
There's no way these people have like full time jobs and like families and stuff because what? How do you have that kind of time? But then right. I thought, you know what? This is another example of like people desperately trying to find a community.
Yeah.
You know, they like the connection about it. Maybe it's like they feel closer to nature because they're stopping and looking for these stupid sticks.
Yep.
But may I suggest volunteer work? Or just hiking around and looking at them. But I think they like the community part.
I got to see these sticks.
You're like, what's all the hype about?
Yeah. I'm like, maybe they'll change my mind. I mean.
It does make you wonder, like, the makeup of the group, though. Like, if they're different, you know, kind of like quirky people.
Yeah. And how different is this than, like, I got a rock collection that I feel like.
I've seen a lot of seashells at your house.
I'd be like, oh, look at this rock. Is this as good as rock as
this? Yeah, but you're not going to follow a group and, like, post and then have commentary about other people's rocks, would you?
No.
She looks like she might.
No, I wouldn't. I'm going to stick with this is weird.
Stick with?
Oh, my God. I didn't even mean to do that. I knew it. I was like, I knew it. I was like, there's going to be an opportunity for a pun here. And I didn't know that I was accidentally going to do it.
Yeah. Hey, man, I guess whatever floats your boat, different strokes for different folks.
Am I being mean to the stick people?
Yeah, you are, but I love it. It's a real role reversal for you.
Yeah. If you love doing it, I thought this was a little more of like
anybody.
The like pet rock, like look at my stick that I, like a, you know, that kind
How
of thing.
How is it different from that?
Because if we're just entering a competition for which is the best stick.
You like that. The competition added something for you.
Yeah, it did. Like, well, that's different.
There's a contest?
Yeah. A pet stick is different than look at the best stick that I found.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this is making me, now that we're talking about this, I'm like, now I want to go on a hike. So they're inspiring people to want to get outdoors.
It's pretty good. It's just strange. Like, human life is weird. And I do think we are all very confused about what we're doing here. Even people that have religion and faith and spirituality, I still think there's a mystery about what this is all about. And so you really can get like fixated on the strangest things.
Strangest.
You know, we all have our quirks.
And depending on what community you're in and who you're around, those fixations and those things change. I notice this anytime I go to, like when I go to Orange County or when I go to like Boca, Florida, I leave going, do I need a Gucci bag? Do I need like,
the values of other people.
Yeah. The things that other people, that community, values and puts attention on, you feel like you should be, I don't know, a part of too. So if I hung out with a bunch of people that were like sticks,
in Stick Nation,
I could definitely get convinced that maybe I
do think it would take very little to get you into this.
Very little.
The second you find a good stick, you're in it, I swear.
I'm already thinking about, I so quickly flip-flopped on this.
I also think that there's no way anybody in Stick Nation would be mean.
Right. They're not going to be mean. Really they're not nice. Going to be, yeah, they seem like nice people.
This is what Sarah and I learned at WrestleCon, too. I mean.
Oh, can we talk about amazed. That?
Yeah.
That is, I'm so glad you brought it up. Mm-hmm. Susie and I were talking about how, you know, there's this reputation you were saying amongst, like, your husband listens to metal music, and then people look at those guys who are, like, into metal, and they think, oh, they must be, like, angry. Yeah. Or
my brother, he's really into opposite. Death metal.
Mm-hmm. They're, like, the kindest, gentle. Sweetest, most gentle people.
Chivalrous. They, those guys yes. that we saw at WrestleCon were all very respectful. I never felt, like, preyed upon.
Never one time. In fact, just the opposite. I felt more respected and cared for, and they were just polite.
We felt like people,
not objects. Lovely.
It was.
Yes. It was so great.
Until we saw Ric Flair. And you would not
expect this from the community that's watching a bunch of women who are like wrestling in outfits that look like, you know, very exposing, and they could be, however, it's totally different. That it shocked me. It totally shocked me how kind and respectful and like
just sweet, gentle, sweet everyone was. Little nerds, and they were really lovely to be around, and I enjoyed it. So great. If you're thinking about going to WrestleCon or any wrestle event, if our experience is reflective of the broader culture, you are in for a treat.
Yes. If you are a single lady who is like, I want to meet a guy who is really kind and would take good care of me, go hang out at the bar at WrestleMania, at any of the hotels at WrestleCon or WrestleMania. At the Sheraton
downtown Philly.
Yes. You will be, and it doesn't matter. It's like, they are to everyone. Like, they are so kind as humans. I just love
them. Yep. And if that is your fantasy, then maybe you could plug that into Dipsy Stories, because they got something for everyone on there.
I guarantee you they do.
I mean, it is, Dipsy Stories has everything you want. They have wellness, sleep stories. Yeah. They have sexy stories, erotica. It's awesome. Little of this, little of that. There's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods, and goddesses. This is a huge in like the romance book community. Yes. I am not familiar, but this is like a big deal. I keep reading about it. So if you're into that. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/braincandy. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/braincandy, dipseastories.com/braincandy. Moving on. Let's see what else is on my agenda. Okay. On, you probably didn't. I think it came out yesterday on Max, the documentary about the Brandy Melville.
Oh, company. I started watching it and then I fell asleep. And then I tried to play it again this morning and it kept saying error won't load.
Oh.
So I wanted to watch it real bad, but I saw about 20% of it.
Okay. So Brandy Melville, I'm sure most people know, but it's this store that became popular over the last decade or so that the young women in particular really loved. And it was known, you told me about it and how it's like one size fits all, but really that just means like it's small. And it's, if you're not small, keep moving. Yeah.
Yes.
And so this documentary, I don't know if you'd call it an expose, but it's just revealing like what the company was really all about. And also weaved in there was the consequences of like fast fashion in general. So that was really hard to watch, the parts about where our clothes go, which we've all heard these stories, but it's so bad.
It is really bad when you see the footage and the images of the piles and piles of clothes and like the cows that are like grazing on top of the piles of clothes. It looks terrifying.
It's condemning.
What are we going to do? Yeah. Yes. Right. It is condemning. And it doesn't feel hopeful.
No. They went to Ghana and other countries where the food or the clothing is sent, and the people there are like, the quality keeps getting worse. It's not, it's practically disposable stuff, yeah. But yet there's nowhere to dispose of it because there's so much, and it just gets moved all around the world for pennies. And it's such a...
Yeah, how does that happen? So I wonder about this because I'm not really aware of the process by which like the clothing moves in and out of the stores. So when... And I know that there are a lot of brands that will not allow their clothing to go to any of those discount places like TJ Maxx or Marshalls or anything that, because they want to like protect the brand and never discount it. And so when a clothing store goes through its season, like Brandy Melville's, like they obviously don't sell out of everything. And then what happens to those clothes as they replace them for new ones?
The luxury ones?
No, like Brandy Melville, for example.
Oh, but that's what they were saying, that they like get transported to these other countries.
Okay, so that's the part I didn't know. So they load them up and they transport them to other countries. And is it that they're selling them or they're just like disposing of them there?
They sell them, and the people that buy them don't know what's in the
the container.
Bale of clothes, so they're hoping it's like those storage wars or something. You bid hoping you might get some quality stuff, but then it's all now like just garbage.
Yeah.
So that part was disturbing, but also just like the culture of fast fashion and then these companies. So in this case, this company is now associated with like kind of like predators. Like they wanted like young girls around, and it's a very like icky, feels disturbing kind of scenario. And that's part of why they only made clothes for tiny people.
Oh no, that is really creepy.
Yeah.
The part I saw it right up until that young girl talks about how she was walking in a store, and the stores, they do this thing where if they see somebody who like they feel like fits the brand, they'll take a picture of them and then they'll post it in their feed. And it's really just like teenagers taking pictures of other teenagers, posting it. And then that's where I cut off. That's where
ended. Just without going into detail, it's sort of like, was this culture of fetishizing young girls and questionable leadership in that regard. Sounds like the Victoria's Secret thing. Yeah, like the guys that were in charge of everything.
Oh, God.
The creepers.
Yeah, we should be really cautious and really like on the lookout for any company that caters to children or to like young girls, like the people who are vulnerable relegated, and illegal. And
they relegated the people of color to like the stock room. And all the little white girls were out on the floor, stuff like that.
Oh, gross. And it's definitely a look. I took over all of Orange County, and like I can remember I think I told you about it when I went with a teenage girl there, and like I felt so bad when she was having the experience that I remember having of like in Abercrombie and Fitch when I was younger. was like, these clothes aren't made for me. Mm-hmm. And feeling like you want to fit, you want to wear them because you need to wear that in order to feel like you fit in and belong. And
yeah, the specifics of the story weren't as important to me as sort of the bigger picture of like,
yeah,
what you're being told is beautiful and acceptable. And then also the mandate of always having new clothes and like not repeating items. And Sarah and I, if you're watching the video version, you will see that we are twins today. We're both wearing our Jenny Kane sweaters, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
And that is actually an example that, I mean, that this isn't an ad. I'm just saying that like we are trying to do is like buy pieces that are going to last and that are quality, because this,
and my pants are vintage men's trousers, the ones that I bragged about that I got for $5 from the Goodwill, that are some really fancy schmancy brand. I can't remember what, but they're like really fancy.
I love and that. Make that cool thing.
And I am starting to see this trend, like it's becoming more popular, where a lot of, you know, younger kids are learning how to upcycle clothes, learning how to fix things, learning how. I follow these great accounts that there's one that shows you how to mend clothes, but in a really like cute way, like with embroidery floss. Like if you get a little moth hole in a sweater, how to sew it up and make it look like a flower, like some flowers.
It's like
with
that
embroidery
Japanese
floss.
Art of like making it more beautiful.
Yes, kintsugi. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And put like the broken pieces, kind of you put it together with gold and make it more beautiful. And I am seeing this happen, and I feel hopeful that, but It's the big companies. It's like we gotta make it illegal. Like this is why you gotta vote for people who will like protect the environment, because these are the environmental situations that we're discussing here that like we need to address.
Yeah,
because it turns into an environmental catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. That it's we're very in, scary. By the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, we're in it.
Yeah. It's not like someday.
Right.
Well, speaking of quality clothes, and this is the real deal, Honey Love is our go-to for leggings and shapewear, all that stuff, because it is super high quality. This isn't like the thing where you bend over and you can see through.
Oh.
You know.
No disposable
clothing
here.
What do you call them? Gutchies?
Your what?
What's that what word that you used to use for underwear? Gutchies or something? Is that you?
Chonies.
What do you call it? Chonies. Yeah, you won't see your chonies. They have bras, super supportive, very comfortable, not restricting, not that thing where you're like, I can't wait to get this thing off. Mm-hmm. All their stuff is really nice. Like anything that you need for like, you know, when you dress up and you need shapewear, they have that. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/braincandy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/braincandy. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
Yeah. And I want to support brands that are not contributing to that problem. No more disposable clothing.
No more. I've had it.
It feels good to not done any of that.
Hey, this wasn't really on my list, but feel like maybe I want to hear your answer. Oh, have you been noticing like in the news recently on like celebrity news sites, E! News and all that, they keep talking about those darn conjoined twins?
I can't believe we waited this long to talk about that, about how one of them's getting married.
She's married, yeah. And then, so did you watch their show on like TLC or whatever it was years ago?
I think I may have seen a bit here and there.
Yeah, they had a show for a minute and it sort of shared like about their life and what it's actually like to be conjoined. They have two heads, but one
really
torso.
Amazing.
They each operate one arm and one leg, and they have one vagina. And so naturally this is intriguing because it's unusual situation where you have two distinct human beings,
mm-hmm.
but kind of like one body for the most part. Okay. So the one got married.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts about all this?
That you can't tell me it's not a threesome when they all have sex.
So you feel like it is what it is. Like
it is what it is, but there's three of them there.
Yeah.
I mean, what does she do? Put on headphones?
Maybe.
She still feels things. She's still...
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be something they address too. And discuss. And it would be a very complicated and, I don't know, difficult thing to navigate. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just like, yeah, no big whoop.
Maybe it's not. It's like, a big whoop.
Maybe to them. I don't know. Maybe to the, like.
Okay. The funniest part for
me. Yeah, I kind of want to know the details.
The husband was previously married and has a child with this other woman. And I just was putting myself in her shoes. If my ex-husband remarried, conjoined twins.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine telling your girls at like the next girl dinner where you're like, you're not going to believe this.
Right.
Guess who he married?
Well, it's I guess I wasn't like, enough of a woman for him.
He needed more.
He needed more.
Because that is unusual.
It's definitely unusual. But I guess everybody needs love and is deserving of love. And you know, I just saw this article, and then there was a story about another that they're not the first set of conjoined twins to get married. How there were twins in China where there were two heads, and one was married to one man and one was married to another, and that women lived in one house and one guy lived on the left and one guy lived on the right. And some nights they would go to his, and they had 9 children between them.
What do you mean between them? They only have
one. The one fathered like 4 and one fathered them. 5, okay. But between the two guys. And
yeah. I don't know, man. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you have one vagina and one womb,
right?
Who gets custody? Is it who's the
mother? Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Like, who's the parent? You have two moms, biological moms? And maybe, okay. But that's real awkward. It's not my favorite, I gotta tell you.
It's not, because it pushes back on all of our, like, expectations of things or the boundaries and the definitions that we have set. You know, in the same way, I mean, this is different, but... I was like, yeah, what's the big deal when, you know, they would talk about like the definition of a woman and how, you know, it's somebody who has like female reproductive organs. And I was like, oh, I don't care if you use that definition or not. Now as somebody without them, I'm like, no, get really fucking specific on your definition of a woman. And it's not that, because I'm still a woman, even though I don't meet your definition of it. If you're going to say that they have, you know, reproductive organs and blah, blah, blah. And so like I can see how it is these extreme and unusual cases that make us look at the language.
That's why we're so uncomfortable with it.
Yes, totally.
Because it's like, because about like identity.
This doesn't fit with regular definition of a relationship, because what are you going to do with that extra head?
And like, what do they have, different DNA? Like,
I honestly don't even know. That's actually a good question.
Yeah, I need more biological information about personhood.
What about their fingerprints, one hand and the other hand? And I know, like,
by the way, I was just reading about how like fingerprints like actually aren't like some of us do have the same as another person.
Really?
Yeah, like we've been living a lie.
Jesus. Well, it's kind of like that snowflake thing, how there's a researcher who discovered like a duplicated snowflake.
Yeah, twins, it took, like, yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah. This feels like when we say never, but there's always those rare exceptions. Yeah, I mean, that is so wild that they are alive and that the body can do that. The body is so resilient and bizarre and will like create workarounds. And how did it even come to be? And it's so fascinating.
Yeah. But it's like, how do they, if their DNA is the same, if just one set of DNA, then how did they get assigned two different identities and birth certificates? Is it because there's two brains? Is that the rubric? I don't know. It just like raises a lot of questions about personhood, identity, autonomy, whatevs, and then just weirdness about banging your husband,
right?
Stuff too.
I want to know like what they do during, like how they, like what does she do? What if she didn't like him?
Well, I'm sure that would be a deal breaker. It would have to be.
Yeah.
They have to allow veto power.
Right, you'd
to the
have
other
to.
Brain. Yeah,
please. I mean, I'm gonna speak up if like my friend is dating somebody I don't really like.
In the article that I read, it said that. They really hate being stared at, and I'm sorry, but listen, you got to get over that because there is a human nature that is evolutionary trait to look at something, to understand it, and to understand.
Yeah. You have to separate the human curiosity from like. Personal judgment in a way.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of jerks that say stupid stuff.
Of course. And like there are, yeah. And you have to separate who you know you are versus who you, I don't know, like the messages that you get from people looking at you. And I think that that's kind of like what we all have to do. In a way.
Yeah. That's a good reminder.
You know?
Like, it's not about you.
Yeah. It's about other people staring out of their own curiosity or other people having a problem with, you know, however you are because of their own, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll do one more.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe two. I was talking to you about Siegfried and Roy recently.
Yeah.
On our road trip. By the way, we created a hilarious system where we were talking about celebrities that we've had it with.
Yeah.
And like anytime there's not even really a reason, you're just like, that'll do. Like you just get sick of them. There's no real reason. They're probably nice in real life, but you just had it. And my friend Kelly was with us and we decided to call it the Whoopi Goldberg Award because she was nominated one day. And, and so anyway, during that journey, we were talking about Siegfried and Roy, and I had watched, it was like one of those Dark Side of the Something series. I don't know if it was like Dark Side of the 90s or what. And they had a whole episode about these two bozos. And I mean, I really had no idea how stupid that Las Vegas show was and how they bring out those freaking white tigers. And they were totally loose and
I never thought of that until you brought it to my attention that they could have mauled the audience at any moment.
Who was in charge of these decisions? Siegfried. I don't know. But how could they possibly think that that was safe for an audience where these,
I don't know,
wild cats could just jump up and maul anybody they wanted. And it's a miracle they didn't until...
It is a fucking miracle. Until.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's... It's such a weird setup. You know, we all watched Tiger King over the pandemic and saw how humans can really lose their sensibility when they are around something they're excited about.
Yes.
It's like they forget about...
They forget that it's a wild animal. There's something like when I think when you buy tickets to something and when it feels like, oh, this is safe. Nothing it's could safe. Go wrong.
Yeah, they wouldn't do it if it weren't safe. We're like that on the challenge. Like idiots.
Right. Like I'm dummies. Sure it's fine.
What? It is not fine. Also, no. I think it's funny that like they never really came out of the closet. Like we all knew but, that they were gay and everything. Sort of like Richard Simmons. Like,
yeah.
That was a weird era where like they were flamboyant. Yeah, it was
the don't ask, don't tell kind of era, but they were telling without saying anything. Like, you guys don't need to talk for us to know what you're saying.
Yeah, see this bedazzling?
Right.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Yeah, speaks volumes. Yeah, I think it was that.
They came up with this whole like story where they claimed. I forget who even was the one that was attacked. Was it Siegfried or Roy?
I don't know.
I think it was Roy Horn. Oh, okay. I think that was his name. Anyway, he acted like he had a stroke on stage and that the tiger was simply dragging him off like out of...
Oh, hell to the no. I wasn't born fucking yesterday. Oh, and the tiger...
Okay, Roy.
Oh. Okay. Oh my God. I cannot. Did you see that video a while back with the zookeepers who were in the cage with the like silverback or like huge gorilla?
Yeah.
And they didn't know that one of the doors had closed and they were trapped in there with it. And you can see this gorilla start to like get up and get angry. One of them runs to safety, but there's another zookeeper. And I thought this woman was going to get her arms ripped off and like beaten with them. Like this. And somehow the gorilla gets distracted with like some food or something. But she was moments away from death.
Yeah.
Instant death. Like
the dummies.
I understand like how the whole like animal in captivity thing, like the benefits and the, I get it, but it Here is just go. Like whenever I see these big, huge animals in these small enclosures and just pacing and like, I'm just like, it is a matter of time before they are going to flip.
Yeah, they flip
and
their
And I
lids.
Never blame them when they do. I never blame. I'm not always like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about right. Took you long enough. Tigers that just jump the enclosure and are like, I'm fucking out of here. I would be too.
The crazy thing too was that there was this big cover-up leading up to that incident where they had problems with some of these animals before with like employees. Mm-hmm. Like there were, you know, dancers and trainers, and there was a lot of people involved in this stupid show. And this little boy was attacked by one of them, and he's now an adult, and he was in the documentary, and he was saying that the settlement they got was like basically just paid for the attorneys, and that was it. Like,
oh, no.
He almost died.
Oh, my God.
And this wasn't even covered in the press or anything, really, and... So it was sort of like you're saying a matter of time, but I can't believe people paid tickets for that.
I honestly think that that is one of those things where the next generation will look back on some of the things that we have done with like animals in like the even how we look at the circus. And it's like, can you believe that we did this shit?
My dad went to see Siegfried and Roy. He loved it. He loved those taggers. That's what he said. I don't know why
Taggers.
He said it like that. That's what he said. And he loved that. He loved that darn show. Any hoodles. We've covered a lot today.
Yeah.
Celestial events.
Sticks. Oh my God. Conjoined twins.
A goat that has been a pawn in the 4-H club.
poor at little the expense of cinnamon, a little girl. Clover. What the fuck was the name? Chester?
Cedar.
Every name but
Chester.
I don't fucking know.
And WrestleCon. We love those crazy bastards.
We love them. So and we so love nice. All
of you. I'm so thankful every time you guys use our codes. If you ever were wondering what the codes are, they're on our website under, what are they called? Candy codes. We have them all listed for you. Mm-hmm. Do a little shopping. Help a sister yes, out.
Support
you know?
Our show. Good brand.
We love you. And
we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.